early 90s, Cavs had some really talented teams. And when I was young growing up, they used to say, yeah, but the one thing about the Cavs, kind of soft. And we love those teams. They also did not get as far as they wanted to get. Can things change with this Cavs team? Jason Lloyd in from The Athletic and for Ken Carmen today. Kenny having his procedure. Haven't heard from Kenny yet. I think he's nervous. I don't even know if the procedure ends up going down.
I think he's going to call in and go, I've got a lump in my throat. I'm not feeling so good. I
think he chickens out?
I did bring it up yesterday because I understand because I was there. This was all the same thing to me. I kept putting it off. Then they changed it. They delayed it. And then my wife is like, do you even really still want to do this? And then when she said that, that opened up. Like, I guess I don't really have to do this. And in the end, I just sucked it up, got it done. So we'll see if that happens with Ken today. And he said, you know, 15, 20 minutes.
Ultimately, you know, Ken's in the height of monogamy. He's like, this is not just for him. This is for Liz too, right? So,
but maybe what he saw at the Coldplay concert has him thinking otherwise.
That's
I don't know.
I'm glad. Let's speculate on that for a while.
Reckless speculation.
What time was he supposed to get chopped?
10:45, I think, is.
Oh, then why do you have to miss today?
Time.
Right. Well, you know,
coward. He's soft. Speaking of soft, he's soft.
I'm not saying anything. I mean, you know, got a little rain the other day. Oh, let's pull the kids off the practice field. It's raining.
Yep.
So you can go and start boozing.
Yeah, he did that on Tuesday.
I'm like, do you think that's happening in Kirtland right now? I bet they're going out there in the lightning. It could be a tsunami. they're out there practicing.
I mean, Avon Lake, we practiced in a tornado last summer.
Right. And we'll do it again if we have to.
But we'll get to that. We'll get to that Cavs thing in a second. I do know that maybe perhaps nobody in town has better perspective on LeBron James. And even if you're experiencing LeBron fatigue, even if mentally you've so checked out of wanting to beg for LeBron, or you don't even think he could help them at the age of 40, I think it's crazy. The guy was, to me, a top 10 player in the league last year, actually to the NBA. He was second team all NBA. But you're monitoring what's going on with the Lakers, and you're seeing a lot of similarities to what LeBron had done in the past here in Cleveland.
I think this is, the question isn't, is LeBron going to finish his career in LA? The question is, how much longer does he want to play? Because this is his last year. I think that it's been made clear. This is going to be his last year
in Los Angeles.
So if he's going to continue playing, it's not going to be there. And it just feels like they're setting up the exit, which it felt like having been around him every day his last year in Cleveland. If you remember, like I felt all year that last year, like this is it, it's over. He's leaving again. And it was just, and again, sort of like what the Lakers have done, the Cavs had very quietly sort of pivoted away from what he was saying and from his wishes. LeBron wanted David Griffin brought back. He made it very clear. He wanted Griff to stay as GM, and they parted ways with Griff and they brought back Kobe. Who was the veteran? There was a veteran player he wanted brought in, and they signed Jetty instead. I forget now who it was. There was a player that he wanted in on the roster, and they went the other way, and they signed Jetty. And it was just subtle things and some a little bit more blatant. He was against the Kyrie trade. He didn't want Kyrie traded. And he told the Cavs, bring him back. Like, I will fix this. Bring him back. And it was too late at that point. And now, in their defense, he could have said that a lot earlier in the process than what he did. And he really didn't say a whole lot. And then when the trade was going down with Boston, he said, don't do this, bring him back. And it was already, the train had left the station and the deal was done. So for years, it was the Cavs just doing whatever LeBron wanted. And there was a very clear shift his final year in Cleveland away from that. And it feels like that's what's happening now in LA, is a very clear shift. And it should be. They should be going to what Luka wants and building around Luka and not LeBron, because they know LeBron's at the end. So it makes perfect sense why both sides are operating the way they are. It really comes down to how much longer does LeBron want to play. And it's only July. It's mid-July. If this is his last year, you're going to know it. He's going to let everybody know before the season starts, because he wants 30 love letters written.
Yeah, so I think he's earned it.
Absolutely.
I mean, the Kobe Bryant treatment, and then he watched The Last Dance. And I think there was no doubt at that stage. And you said he's already had a crew.
He's had a film crew around him off and on for the last couple of years. I don't know what he's building or what he's got going. But I mean, when they were here,
20 parts.
When they were here a couple years ago, I was in the locker room.
At least.
and he had a film crew filming everything.
And by the way, he's got more. He's got more of a story to tell than even Kobe, than even MJ at this point, because there's more film. We've known him since high school. We really didn't know Michael Jordan since high school in that way. And Kobe, you knew a little bit in high school, but it's still, you just have the catalog of footage. And then this lengthy NBA career where he's had like four or five careers, mini careers as part of the longer career, and then add Team USA, add him being an executive as, you know, the VP of the Players Union, right? And then he could be an owner. We all think it's trending towards that. Then you add his business ventures.
Yeah.
So who's got more of a story to tell in American sports, maybe outside of Tiger Woods?
Yeah,
then LeBron James.
He reshaped free agency in the NBA.
He
reshaped how players approach free agency, taking shorter deals to maximize earnings, teaming up in different markets. Now the league has found a way to sort of put an end to that. But he was the one at the lead of that. He reshaped endorsement deals. He now gets ownership in these companies. It's not just you're going to pay me X amount. It's no, I want a stake. If I'm endorsing you, then I want a piece of the product. And that's never happened before. So he has reshaped. For a guy who never went to college, he's surrounded himself with some pretty sharp business people, and he's developed a pretty good sense of business.
I'd say he could teach a class at Harvard Business School. Yeah. But Maverick Carter has taught a class at Harvard Business School. So, and Rich Paul's become, you know, one of the most influential agents in all of sports.
And Rich is going to be around long after LeBron. And I'm really impressed and proud of what Rich has accomplished and what he's done, because early in his career, Rich had people throughout the league telling him all the time, just wait till your golden boy retires and you'll be done. You'll be irrelevant. You're gone too. And that is just not the case. Like Rich is the most powerful agent in the NBA, and that will last long after LeBron retires.
That is it's pretty amazing. If you go back and trace their original meetings, you know, it's absolutely incredible. So, look, the Cavs, their offseason, they're probably going to be talked about less than any other team that is a contender in the NBA because they're running it back. Now, they did bring in two guys I like. Lonzo Ball, if healthy, which you always have to say in parentheses. Right. And then, obviously, Larry Nance Jr., if healthy. Yeah. So, they're two guys. But what they didn't do in the offseason is address something that their coach brought up and their GM brought up immediately after the elimination game, game five of the Pacers. And that was, we need to get tougher, both mentally and physically. Now, mentally, I think they got some guys already that are pretty tough mentally, and one of them is Donovan Mitchell, certainly. But the physically part of that, I look up and down NBA rosters. Man, I can go through every single roster and tell you who the instigators are, who the enforcers are, who the tough guys are. The Ben Mathurins, I mean, he might have changed that entire series when he went up to block DeAndre Hunter, right? That sent a pretty big message in a game where it was in the middle of a avalanche, right? And we know what happens the rest of that series. So he is somebody who is an instigator. The Dylan Brookses of the world, you know, definitely an instigator and someone who will go toe-to-toe. I look around Lou Dort. Man, Oklahoma City seems like they got eight of those guys.
Yep.
Okay? And they were the champions this year. So we've seen it when LeBron, when the Cavs were the favorites in all those series in the second 4 years that he was here, all the other teams had one of those guys that they were going to try. Now, most of the ways it was unsuccessfully, but they would have guys who would stand up to LeBron or at least get in his face, someone who would take a hard foul. I mean, we could talk about Kelly Olynyk and the instigation. So teams have always had that in the NBA. And I go up and down the Cavs roster. Who is that guy? Even the one guy they had, the Morris brother that would do it.
Marcus
Morris. In the 3 weeks, it seemed like he was with the Cavs. He was that guy. And the Cavaliers obviously, you know, went a different direction immediately at the end of the season. And what was he doing? He was clowning his ex-teammates.
Yeah.
Saying those guys aren't tough enough. And that was, you know, that was 2 years ago. What's changed? So do you think that's something that could hold him back? Because I think it's a problem.
Yeah, it could be something that holds him back. I'm not saying it will, but certainly it could. You know, I think what makes him tougher, I think this entire offseason of everyone sort of poking at him and it feels like they've become a punchline in at certain times, which I think is misguided. I still think they're a really talented team, and it feels like, I've said this before, it feels like the pendulum has sort of swung too far the other way, where people just sort of dismiss them in the East as the East is wide open, and it is. The East is open.
We can't dismiss them.
But, I mean, this is the most expensive roster in the NBA now. I don't think people realize that. With Boston making the cuts that they have, with Phoenix pivoting the way they have.
Are they the only team officially in the second apron now? Because all the other teams did some work to get out under the apron.
I'd have to look. I don't know. But I know that they have the most expensive roster in the NBA now. So if I had an entire summer of everyone calling me soft and telling me I wasn't tough enough, nothing would anger me more and motivate me more to prove them wrong than that. So where does the toughness come from? The toughness may just come from an offseason of derision and of people sort of poking at them. I wrote about after the season ended, this team will not reach its full potential until Evan Mobley's the best player on the team. Now, is he going to be the physical enforcer? No. And in fact, I'd go a step farther and say they probably just traded away their one tough guy in Isaac Okoro, but he couldn't make enough shots to stay on the floor in a playoff game, in a series. So they had to sort of move on from him and get off that future money. And really what they did was put themselves in a position to maybe dip out of the second apron next season, not this coming season, but next season, maybe. If they feel like they need to pivot and get out of the apron, it's a lot easier to do that now without Okoro's money on the books. Mm-hmm. But in terms of physicality and where do they find physicality, it has to come from within. And it has to come from an entire summer of people telling them you're not good enough and you're not tough enough.
Well, you can't ask Donovan Mitchell to do that. You can't be the superstar and have to also the guy's been on fumes the last 2 years at the end of the playoffs. He's played his butt off. But he's already got enough of the heavy lifting.
If you want names, it would have to be Mobley and Allen.
Okay. Well, Allen is just somebody that I think...
And I don't know that Allen's wired that way.
Well, we don't even know if he's going to be here, right? I mean, you do have a trade deadline this year. And I know it's hard to imagine a really successful team that's on the verge of high 50s or maybe even 60 wins again trading one of their main pieces. I'm not going to use the term core, but you can if you want. But, you know, Jared Allen, at the end of the season, that was the one guy we kind of all agreed on. Like, if they wanted to make a move.
I wrote after the season, I don't know how you bring him back. Like, he's been a ghost now in the playoffs. How many years in a row has he just vanished when you needed him most? He's great defensively, yes. But if there was one guy to break off, I think he's clearly fourth. And the layering of, if you're going to call it a core four, he's fourth on that list. And it's easier to make the money work at $20 million, where his salary is compared to some of the other guys. But they clearly, at this point, I don't think there's a move coming. Like, this is who they're bringing back.
This it. Do you buy any of the rumors that have been out there that they were in on Kevin Durant conversations, that they might have made a call about LeBron James? Do you believe any of that?
Well, if you weren't in on Kevin Durant, I'd say that's dereliction of duty. And why weren't you in on Kevin Durant? Because he's still a top 15 player in this league.
Last year, he had the most efficient isolation game since they've been tracking the data dating back to 2012. That's how good of a season. Nobody knows because they weren't good.
Yeah.
But you saw what happened when we played against Kevin Durant in Phoenix towards the end of the year. He was clearly the best player on the floor.
Yeah. If they weren't in on KD, they should have been in on KD is how I would look at
which
it.
Which would have meant a Darius Garland trade.
Fine. Kevin Durant's better than Darius Garland. So, and you're trying to win a championship right now. The LeBron stuff, they were never going to gut their roster for him, nor should they, I don't think. If you really sit down and look at everything they would have to give up to make a deal like that work because of where they are money-wise in the apron, it's nonsensical. It just doesn't make sense. And I didn't think it was ever realistic that the Lakers were going to just buy him out and he was going to come back here on a minimum. I wouldn't rule out LeBron ever finishing his career here. Again, it depends on how long he wants to play. And if he wants to play beyond this season, then yeah, you could get something done. And that's why I brought up earlier about pivoting out of the second apron. If you have to pivot out of the second apron next summer, well, then that brings your mid-level exception back into play.
Mm-hmm.
So now you can have a serious conversation about that, but that's still a year away. So it's not worth spending a ton of time on now, but there are more realistic paths, I think, next summer, if there's going to be a reunion between those two, than there is right now.
And Darius is the one I'm really, you talked about chip on the shoulder. I mean, imagine what Darius thought while he was seeing clips of Kevin Durant.
Absolutely.
Talk with, you know, LeBron James, who's best friends with his agent, Rich Paul, and nobody's saying anything.
LeBron and Darius are both clutch guys.
And they're going on and on, and Kevin Durant is
singling him out by name.
He's like, I don't know, small guys in the NBA today. I don't think it's their game. And then it's like, all right, well, I guess he could be talking about me. And then Darius Garland.
Yep.
Like, he mentioned him right there. You want to talk about bulletin board material? Hope that works. I hope that works for the diminutive guard. He needs to have a season, needs to have a big bounce back after Stephen A. Smith went after him in the playoffs. Guy's question is his toughness. Guy's question playing through injury. I think it got a little ridiculous.
Well, you know,
some of those talking heads.
I know we got to go real quick. If you boil all the Darius stuff down, it comes down to game two. It really is all about game two that he missed. Nobody expected him to play against Miami after he got hurt. Nobody was upset about that. Nobody was upset that he sat game one, and then he came back for game three. It really, the whole Darius conversation really comes down to game two against the Pacers.
I'm not taking a shot at you. You're my boy. You're working with me today. Appreciate it. Very excited to have you here. But I know that I've been pushing the right buttons When I get like the please, I understand. I agree with you on Kevin, but I just want to enjoy the season,
dude. Right? Like especially like on Sundays, like the phones have gotten to that point where like he's really about to talk about this again, and it's like, yeah, I'm going to talk about this. I'm trying to get the greatest player of all time, who happens to be from Akron, Ohio, back on the Cavs. I am going to talk about it some
more. I look at this like I looked at Peter Lynn's commitment, like. There is a moment very early on, and again, JP and I at that point had been a show for like 3 or 4 months, where it was like the first week of the offseason, and JP was just like, it's Shador at two and nothing else. And it was a professional point. It was also a just logistical point of, you gonna stick to that for the next 4 months?
Shay, boom!
And to his credit, he absolutely did. And as much as anybody wants to give the guy crap, Shador ended up here, and I got to give him credit. He committed to the bit. I feel this, which, by the way, if Shador ends up being good, Jonathan gets the victory lap of all victory laps. And I'd be mad at him if he didn't take it. Same thing with LeBron 3.0 with you. I've pushed pretty hard for this idea, not as hard as you.
What's crazy about this, I've spent so many man hours campaigning and pushing and creating narratives in my head to get LeBron back in Cleveland. I haven't even taken a break to think about the victory lap that I'm going to take if this does happen.
All right, now what are you going to do if he ends up in Miami or Dallas, which are right now is the two best odds for him to end up?
I don't want to think about that.
I mean, I think you got to. I think you should be thinking about that one more than you should the victory lap. The victory lap should be organic. It should be like, bleep you, you're cool, bleep you, I'm out. Like, that's the victory lap. The Miami one, you might have to go in the witness protection program.
The Miami one, I might just have to.
You can't
beat him, join him. I might just have to go down there.
You might have to be like a gambling shark in Miami. Like, it's Nicky P. All right, I'm going to handicap all your odds here. You're like, wait, you're the same guy that was just in Cleveland. I don't know. Who is Padone? I don't even know what it means. I don't know why I went incredibly incredibly Italian with that one. So I apologize to the Italian-American community here and all the Italians. We love the Italians. Now it sounds like I'm starting to get into Dutch here. But like the most recent iteration of the LeBron thing is LeBron going to Dallas and the Cavs help facilitating it in a three-way trade. And, man, I got to tell you, I think it might be the only way Cavs fans really, really get pissed if you help facilitate LeBron to Dallas and you still end up giving like a Jared Allen and get like a PJ Washington in return.
I can find a way to spin zone that, though. Isn't there a world where behind closed doors they could work this out where like LeBron has enough juice where he could probably go for 2 more years? So let him go get his $52 million in Dallas, help him get there while improving the Cavs roster at the same time, and be set up even better for next season to do the return 3.0. Like, that's the thing. Until he retires, I will always be able to push for this. As long as the Cavs are too inept to get out of the second round, I am going to continue to push for this, especially with LeBron James continuing to play like a top five player in the NBA, which he was last year.
I just, so there's a part of me that thinks the only way LeBron ends up in Cleveland, because I don't think trade's on the table because of the fact that you're a second apron team. So I think that immediately complicates it. And there's just not enough pieces. Like, there's so many teams still waiting on Giannis that there's not, like, a third team you can say is willing to help you get there, right? All right, so that's one. But the other thing is, there's just a part of me that I'll believe LeBron will play on the vet min or the mid-level exception, which you don't have because of the second apron, that I'll believe that when I, like, I'll believe it when I see it. And I think the only way it happens is if he gets bought out in L.A., and so he's not taking a $52 million haircut. He maybe takes a $15 million haircut but to get bought out and then take the vet man of $3.5 million. I don't see him taking a $50 million. This is a guy who wants to own an NBA franchise in 3 or 4 years. It's really tough for me to see him taking that kind of haircut.
Well, what's nice about this, the buyout thing feels more real to me. And it's maybe it's because I've officially, like, sign myself up to live in this delusional world where there's a real chance that this happens. But, like, the buyout thing feels more real to me kind of by the day. Because doesn't it feel like he, like, by the day is more done with the Lakers, and the Lakers by the day are more done with him? Like, we learned this week that they didn't inform him of the sale, that Jeannie Buss was cashing out $10 billion. They didn't tell him about the DeAndre Ayton acquisition. They told Luka about it, though. So the Lakers are telling LeBron, the Lakers are treating LeBron like he's some sort of second-class citizen, and they're treating Luka like he's the next hottest thing, which for them, that is kind of the truth. They're going to build around Luka.
What's crazy about that is you don't have to make that choice. You could treat them both with the appropriate, like,
it's a conscious choice that they're making. And LeBron,
to disclude LeBron rather than include Luka, which would make sense given where you're going.
And vice versa, Bron's playing a little hardball too. Like, I think there's a I think he picked up that $52.6 million knowing they didn't really want him to. So, oh, you don't want me to be around? Okay, now not only am I going to be around, but you're also going to have to pay me $52.6 million to be around.
I'll know LeBron is serious. And I think Miami has made more sense to me every day because they've got a bunch of expiring contracts, starting with Andrew Wiggins. When Pat Riley puts an offer on the table and LeBron rejects it and says, if you don't want me here, you will buy me out. That's the only, that'll be to me, that, because here's the thing, the trade thing, with the way the NBA works, no, if I'm LeBron, no, I'd rather get 45 of my 52 million, you buy me out, you still get the cap freedom you want, and then I can go, and if I want to sign in New York for the mid-level exception, I can. If I want to sign in Cleveland with the vet men, or if I want to go to Dallas and just be a part of what they have instead of subtracting it. Because to me, that's the, like, there's a part of me that thinks that both the Lakers and LeBron, there's a little bit of chicken bleep there.
Yeah,
there's a little bit of, it's like when you, all right. It's like if you have two passive aggressive friends who are, like, playing a game of chicken, and you're like, none of you can back this up. Like, then come on. Just stop this now. It's just going to end up in more pettiness. And in the end, nobody's going to get what they want. Like, I don't know how uncomfortable. If anyone can do it, LeBron can make the Lakers uncomfortable enough to buy him out. But I don't know LeBron's going to go all to that degree.
Right.
And I do think at some point they end up saying, you know what? It's one more year. Let's do it for Luka. Let's do it for Lakers fans. But man, I got to tell you, the idea of LeBron coming home on a vet min in year 23, it does quench a thirst. It does get me going.
In this Eastern Conference, with no Tyrese Halliburton, with no Jason Tatum, but let me remind people, it's the 10-year anniversary of the 2016 NBA championship. Like, the opportunity for the storybook ending is there, but leave aside the nostalgia, like, the opportunity to win another championship is also there, because even with the trade, if you've got to get rid of Darius Garland and Jared Allen, to me, those are two guys that have had 3 years in the NBA playoffs, and they've done virtually nothing. They've been more hurt than they have been help come playoff time for the Cavs. So if I've got to give those guys up to win a championship, I'm sorry, I'm doing it. And I know there's a lot of people that get upset about that because they don't want to blow up this core four. I don't know that I really view it as blowing it up, especially in a league like the NBA where every season is so year to year. Like, everybody kind of comes at me, Nick, and they're like, well, you would really blow up the core four, what we've been building for a 1-year rental of LeBron. I respond to those people and say, Yeah, because who's to say that this one more year of the core four isn't a rental in its own right? And if they don't get out of the second round next year, they're getting blown up anyway. And it probably means moving on from Donovan Mitchell.
I know that this doesn't, I know this is not how sports work, but I think there's a vast amount of Cleveland fans out there. If you said, all right, whether you like LeBron or not, you bring him back this year and you win a championship, another championship, or you spend the next 4 years knocking on the door of the Eastern Conference Finals, and you maybe get there once or twice, but you never seriously threaten for the NBA Finals. I don't, that's the exact crux of the reason why the Cavs called about LeBron in the first place.
I don't think that got enough run. I don't think the LeBron James post that he put on X yesterday.
This is where you really go inside baseball, or where you really go a little galaxy brain, but I'll allow it.
So Shams Charania announces that the Cavs extend Kobe Altman, who's the architect of this title contender, and also extend Mike Gansey and Brandon Weems. Brandon Weems, we've known for years, is a former St. Vincent St. Mary High School teammate and a close personal friend of LeBron James. He currently serves as the assistant GM to the Cavs. LeBron's obviously excited that his boy got a big-time payday and a big-time extension, so he quote-tweets Shams post and says, "Yes, sir, congratulations to my brother B. Weems. So proud of you, man." If we just set aside the names and we set aside the fact that this is LeBron in Cleveland, this is arguably the greatest professional basketball player of all time who's posting about an executive on a team that just inquired about him via trade. Wouldn't that send shockwaves through any sports town anywhere?
I mean, do I think LeBron understood what he was doing when he did it? Yes. Do I think it increased the chances of him coming to Cleveland this year by even 1%? No.
He has Brandon Weems' phone number. Like, he could have just texted him that. They grew up together.
Yeah, but you know LeBron. LeBron's about the optics. So do I think this is a part of the passive-aggressive war between the two of them? Yes. Am I any more convinced that he's coming here right now than that? No.
I also think, too, with the other teams that have been floated, and Dallas and Miami do concern me a little bit, but it would just feel so wrong to see LeBron in a Mavericks uniform or in a Heat uniform again. Like, any time that LeBron has changed teams in his career, when he went to Miami the first time, it was a legacy move. He was chasing championships. He won two. When he came back to Cleveland, we all know the implications that that had in the legacy, because he ended our 50-plus year title drought in this town. Did he not? When he went to LA, it was to focus on his business and that chapter of his legacy from a professional standpoint, and also to try to become one of the greatest players to wear the purple and the gold, to join the likes of Wilt and Magic and Kobe and Shaq, to have his name in that conversation in Lakertown. I don't know that a legacy move would be reuniting with old and injured Anthony Davis and Kyrie Irving coming off a knee injury with Jason Kidd in Dallas. Like, that's not really a legacy move.
Didn't even put Cooper Flagg in there, I see.
It would be coming back to Cleveland.
So I think the number one thing LeBron can do to help his legacy is win another title. And I think, because I think it then flies contrary to the face of this late stage LeBron that we have, where, quite frankly, LeBron has chosen the confines, the comforts of Los Angeles over winning a championship and competing for it in the same way. I actually disagree with you. I think another championship in Miami would be huge, and the same thing with Dallas. I think what he has in a buyout, I don't know how people would react to coming home to Cleveland a second time. I've actually talked to a few people that I really like and trust in the media and like in the NBA, and they were kind of always like, yeah, okay, but it's not 2014 kind of thing. You're not guaranteed a championship, but I do think you were pretty much guaranteed a championship or something close to it then. Because remember, 2014, you didn't know the Warriors were going to happen.
Yeah, but right now,
they were completely off the radar.
There's no Tatum. There's no Halliburton. Like, it is as open now as it was in 2014.
Yeah, but LeBron's also not LeBron from 2014. But specifically what you're saying, the one trump card that Cleveland has other than being home is if he came back, forced a buyout, and then joined an existing team in year 23 to sign a veteran minimum contract and win a championship, and he was still the best player on that team or second best player on the team, Yeah, I think that would aid his narrative. Like LeBron sacrificed for his final championship. There's a guy who cares very much about his money, told people don't ever take a pay cut. You take a pay cut to then come back to Cleveland and then win a championship. Yeah. Oh, by the way, it happens to be in year 23, your number, somebody else's number as well. Yeah, I think it's tough to write a better narrative than that. Even if you went to the Knicks, where I think winning the first championship since 1972 would be a huge, huge, huge boon for his legacy as well. 216-474-0092. We talked about the potential three-way trade involving the Cavs, Mavericks, and Lakers. It's going around social media. You would facilitate LeBron going elsewhere. Are you okay being involved in a LeBron trade if it doesn't end up in him coming back to Cleveland? In case we missed it, in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. There really is like a Godfather 3 going on with the LeBron to the Cavs stuff, which is just when I think it's over, it pulls me back in. And obviously this continued standoff with LeBron and the Lakers is getting to a point where there's a real you-know-what-or-get-off-the-pot moment here for both parties. And I think it's kind of fascinating because I think LeBron should be getting a lot more credit for what he's trying to steer into, which is, hey, I understand you want to build for the future. Last year in half a season, Luka and I went from out of the playoff race to the 3 seed. Give us the tools to try and win this year, as opposed to the Lakers, who are like, hey, we've got Luka for the future, and that's all that really matters.
So that's where the impasse comes, is that the Lakers are doing everything without even consulting LeBron, without even having LeBron in the picture at all. And I think what bothers LeBron the most, and for the first time in his life, nobody cares what he thinks in this equation.
So, but I think he's right, because to me, he's erring on the side of, I want to win championships.
Well, is he erring on the side of I want to win championships, or is he recognizing that the Lakers aren't opening up the door and saying, here, we want to welcome you, and we want you here for as long as you want to be here?
So I think that's part of it. And I do think, like, I think it's probably more complex than either of us are. But I think if you start to put it together, I think you do have the picture here.
I mean, based off of some of the reporting we had from, like, Ramona Shelburne and that ESPN piece where they all met together, I think the restaurant's name was Max's in L.A., and they all met together, the same thing that they've been doing with LeBron. It's Pelinka, it's JJ Redick, and they're all sitting there and they're all like ready to put together the team and the ownership's there as well. And they're trying to drive everyone forward, and Luka gets the invite and LeBron doesn't get the invite. And LeBron's not involved. Where in years past, LeBron had been involved. Everything down to the lack of a willingness to sign anything more than just a 1 year deal and the 1 year opt in. Like, they're telling LeBron they're tired of LeBron.
And here's the thing. I do think it speaks to a Lakers organization that maybe isn't, I can understand not wanting to commit future money because you're going to be able to reset the table in a year or two with Luka in a way that's going to maximize his window.
Well, you think at this point, by the way, too. I don't even know that that's a guarantee now at this
point. That's actually a really good point of, like, we'll see what talent's actually out there. But the same point.
More the idea that it's not a given that Luka just automatically signs that massive extension and keeps this thing going. Like, if you would have told me 2 months ago, I would have said for sure Luka signs the extension. He wants to be in LA. He wants to do this. I don't know. Maybe next year at this time when he's up for the max everything, maybe he's like playing in San Antonio's cooler. You haven't done enough.
Yeah, and which is interesting. Luka's never really given us. I mean, I know he flexed his authority a little bit with Dallas. I just continue to come back to, I know everyone's tired of the way LeBron does things, like the passive aggressive stuff. He was on the Summer League coverage over the weekend. I'm not here to talk about that. That kind of stuff, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
At the same point, what other athlete do people actively get pissed at because he wants clarity on his future? And more importantly, he's like, hey, we can win the championship now.
Well, he's been owed something that the Lakers just aren't willing to give him right now. But I think, and I'm sure you think the same way, that like he's afforded an ability to basically do whatever he wants and should be able to call every shot. He's just not having that right now. Like, I read Bill Plaschke earlier today. Plaschke's whole piece was built around the final lesson LeBron should learn should be taken from Kobe. and that Kobe refused to do a whole going away party and going away tour until he didn't. And once he embraced the going away tour, then he got to be idolized in every city, and he found out he really loved that, and that was a thing. And it's like, how is this the conversation? Yep. Like, LeBron was always able to call his shot. He should be able to call out when he's done playing, not have Plaschke say he needs to do a Kobe-esque farewell tour.
And this is where the Lakers might be overestimating their leverage and their abilities. It's really impossible to change the circumstances, meaning pull power away from a global icon who's still very much a top 20 basketball player. It's really tough to do that and get what you want out of this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where, like, you're changing the terms of the agreement. LeBron isn't. And even though a lot of guys in the NBA might not be the biggest LeBron fans because LeBron has exercised his power for so long and yada, 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 the reality is everyone's paying attention to what you're doing with this LeBron thing. And I don't think the Lakers are prepared for what happens if you don't do this the right way. And there's really, at this point, there are three outcomes. There's a trade, which is almost impossible given how many teams are in the second apron or approaching the apron and how you would have to redo this. I think Miami can do it, which might make sense. I think the Knicks can, but everyone, while you're trying to do this, by the way, everybody's waiting for the Giannis shoe to drop one way or another.
Right.
The second thing is you patch things up for the good of the kids and you do this year. And that's probably the most likely thing that will happen, even though it's going to be an uneasy detente and might even spike trade rumors by February. The third thing, which I honestly think makes sense for everyone and not just because it benefits you and me, is work on a buyout where LeBron still gets most of his money, but you don't have to deal with a headache, and you can put everything into the Luka basket this year, see how far it can take you, and then reset. When the money resets a year from now, and when you re-sign him in a year from now, and LeBron could go on his merry way and sign wherever he wants for the league minimum or mid-level exception.
Yeah, I mean, they'd be right to find some sort of trade, though. I mean, like it's amazing how the buyout is even an option at this point. That would be doing LeBron a big service, but if I'm the Lakers, I want something for this. Oh. Like, LeBron was sixth in MVP voting last year.
So, but what I think is funny is, because I agree with you, this should be, but I think LeBron's smart enough to go, you didn't play ball with me, I'm not playing ball with you. Because he has the no movement clause.
Yeah, he does.
But so I think he has, because here's the thing. I think LeBron has proven over time his will out. Like, it will win. And I think getting into a passive aggressive off LeBron with LeBron James is like getting into a fist fight with Mike Tyson in 1987. I just think it's ill-advised.
Yeah, I'd be curious to see what would happen if he actually said, hey, I'm going to force you to do this. There's so much value in LeBron. And I look at, again, sixth in MVP voting last year. Like, there's so much here. But ultimately, do you think it's actually going to happen? Because that's the hard part I can't get over. For every dreamed up scenario that we go through, I have a hard time thinking he's doing anything but play with the Lakers. But I'll say this. This was the most contentious and the most one-sided that I've felt about this in the entire stretch of talking about Lakers and LeBron.
Yeah, I mean, this is shades of LeBron and Pat Riley passive aggressively warring for his last little bit there in Miami. That's what it reminds me of.
Yeah,
except one of them's not Pat Riley.
Well, and LeBron still has had a lot of leverage at that point. Where I just don't know that LeBron has the same leverage. I wish we had more clarity on LeBron's timeline, but LeBron doesn't even know what his timeline is.
I also think. I love that you're pushing this to the LeBron thing, because I've talked a lot about the Lakers side of this. I also would love to know, all right, if it's not winning a title, competing for a title, them cluing you in on their moves, them going all in on 2025, 2026, what's B? Like, what if you can't get the main, because everybody out there knows there's a there's what you'd like to have happen. I do think for LeBron, I still think he'd prefer to stay in LA, and whether it's finish out his career here, at least finish out this contract in LA. I'd love to know what his B is. I'd really love to know what that thing that he's willing to pivot towards.
If he had a B, we'd already find out what it was, right? I don't know that he's dreamed it up at this point, or maybe he has in the past couple weeks. But
I'd be very surprised if LeBron doesn't know. Him and his crew are so thought out well in advance. I mean,
but that's usually when they're calling the shots, though. Because usually you're right. They're so thought out and they're so prepared, and they've got they're the they're the kingmakers. They're the one, they're dictating the chessboard. They're seeing how the pieces go. But for the first time in LeBron's career, he's trying to move the pieces, and there's resistance there. There's people saying, no, you're not the one playing the game. I'm playing the game.
I still think he's in power. I think he has a chance to really make that situation incredibly uncomfortable. And if he does drop a trade demand, I don't know that in a lot of years, a guy like that can drop a trade demand and he'd walk back. I think if it gets to that point, it's over. And when I say it's over, I mean the Lakers are very likely to lose LeBron for either expiring contracts or maybe you save $10 million in a buyout.
I mean, you see how the Lakers aren't really crying over that scenario, though? Like, oddly enough, they're willing to just say, LeBron, you're not in our future plans. We don't think we're going to win anything this next year. And so it just is what it is, which I don't know. The more and more I think about it, the idea that LeBron, if he plays anywhere to what he was last year, and then you pair that with Luka, and I'm not going to make DeAndre Ayton awesome. It's a flawed team. But if you can't get Luka and LeBron to work, yeah, maybe you should just pack it in general.
Yeah, I think, you know, there was a report by Dave McMenamin over the weekend. We don't have time for the audio, but the Cavs were one of four teams to call about LeBron. I think that immediately says some of our fears about would Dan Gilbert want it, would Donovan want it, those at the very least, they checked in. And two, I do think that if this does ever get to a point, I think the only way it happens is if LeBron gets a buyout in L.A. But we thought, LeBron, Donovan, Evan, LaDon Evan, as people have called it.
Yeah, some people have done that.
That's a championship. If LeBron came back on the vet men, it would be his narrative. We always talk about, okay, how can Donovan win on the narrative front? If he gets most of his money from L.A. in a buyout, plus...
But I don't think he can look at it that way. Well, all right, so how much of the money does he get from the buyout? Because I still need to know how much he makes for the upcoming season.
Let's say it's $30 million. So more than half. Oh, wait, no. Let's say $35 million because that's more than half.
Okay, then that's fine. We can play with that. Because there is the idea out there that LeBron, again, he was sixth in MVP voting last year. He looked better than Steph did last year. He looked better than Durant did last year. Like, all these other guys aren't getting penalized financially the way that we're asking LeBron to be penalized.
But if this is a big if, and it should be said, I think it's the second most likely thing to happen. But I think the most likely thing to happen is LeBron in L.A. long term. But if LeBron were to get a buyout and come to Cleveland, join this team as constructed, and in his 23rd year, win his fifth title on a vet min contract, which has always been the knock on LeBron since he went to Miami, is he's never going to take another low-cut deal again, right?
Right.
I think it might be the only way to supercharge his legacy in a completely different way. Because it's the vet min, it's joining an established team, it would be coming back to Cleveland, but this time you're doing it for the fans, for the fan base, which you can spin it on a vetmin deal. And oh, by the way, winning a championship would also prove the Lakers foolish for not chasing a championship with LeBron and Luka.
And this ultimately is the best story and storyline. Yeah. I really do believe that. I think it's a better storyline than the Knicks. And we've talked about how much attention you get with the Knicks and breaking that 50-year deal that they haven't won a title with. But like, this is the fairy book ending. And he knows that. He's a story guy.
216-474-0092. The Cavs are one of four teams to call about LeBron. Big deal, little deal, or no deal. More to come in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Did you make faces when you saw the story about LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers? Zach Jackson, 722. Did you make faces?
Well, I have like a Bobby Knight game face that okay. I make. When people ask what Bobby Knight's game face is, what would he do? He'd start to make all these weird twitching faces.
So the Lakers are interested in moving on, it seems. That according to Brian Windhorst, Ramona Shelburne, that by spring of next year, he ain't going to be a Laker anymore. They're going to build around Luka. They're going to move forward here. I think LeBron, for the first time in his career, is seeing what it's like on the other side. And I think there's a lot of Cavs fans over the weekend this morning. And again, we'll talk more about Quinshon Judkins and everything else going on there at 722. But we had to talk about this. Is I think there are a lot of Cleveland fans who are saying, I told you so, over the weekend when it comes to LeBron. Because you know, this is a guy who I think his shadow is probably bigger than the Cavs. There's people who don't want to admit that, but it is. I would say it's, you know, you got Dwayne Wade there. Maybe his shadow is bigger in Miami, but bigger than the Heat. Regardless, his shadow is bigger than the Heat. But in Los Angeles, I'm sorry, you're at the end of your career. You're even though he won the championship there, he's not known for that championship. He's really known for the Cleveland championship in 2016, and maybe the back-to-backs a little bit more in Miami. But certainly the 2020 championship is a championship that happened in a bubble, happened at a different time of year. Just seems to be this weird thing that I don't think a lot of people really remember. And you're just not in that city. While he is going to be a guy who's beloved here, statue here, statue in Akron, he's not that guy in Los Angeles. He's not Kareem. He's not Magic. He's not Kobe. And I'm surprised to a level it's going this way. I thought really they would stick with him basically until the very end. I'm surprised, but it would be the prudent move. But for LeBron, I think that this is an example about why he's, or the reason why he's been doing all this stuff over the last couple of weeks. The Cleveland stuff, the golfing, the on the boat with people in his jersey, things like that. Like, I think that this is definitely him wanting to say he wants to be admired again and respected again for what he does.
Did you see he didn't even text DeAndre Ayton? Like, Ayton said he got all these texts, and he did not get one from LeBron James.
But I'm not surprised. I think that he doesn't feel that he wants to be his teammate, that LeBron doesn't want to be his teammate. And I think that he's probably upset. I think he would love to facilitate a trade. Now, so many people had brought up, well, if he really wanted to facilitate a trade, he would have opted out and taken the minimum or something like that. Yeah, I think that's easier said than done. If I were mad at an organization for me feeling used, which you can feel, you can laugh at that all you want, but that's how he feels. If you feel like you've been used by an organization, you're going to take every single damn dime they owe you. And then you're going to make them figure it out, because he's still a guy who commands a lot of attention, and I do think that he would command something back in any sort of a return in a trade. You know, I don't know what teams can actually do something. I think that the Cavs actually doing something is going to be pretty difficult to do, but I think that he still, and it's true, he believes he can still do what he wants. He can still do what he wants, and if he decides by the time camp comes around that I don't want to be a Laker anymore, then he can, damn it, he's going to probably decide that. And we will be off to the races on a sort of move for him. But he has to come out and officially say he didn't want to be a Laker anymore.
Well, yeah. I mean, he's doing everything he can, because I think he's still kind of trying to keep his toes dipped in multiple places,
mm-hmm.
because he doesn't ever want to be perceived. Like, he loves the gossip. He doesn't mind that.
Of course.
But he doesn't want to be perceived as tanking a season before he goes into it for a team. So he's never going to come out, you know, flat out and demand the trade. He'll squeeze you.
You really
he'll
don't
squeeze
think so?
You from the outside.
And you really don't think so? I mean, Kobe himself did demand a trade once on a radio show.
He has his agent to do that. I mean, he has Rich Paul to make things as uncomfortable as he can. And Rich Paul is one of the most influential, high-powered agents in all of sports right now.
But don't you think it would be easier for him to do that? Don't you think it would be easier for everybody if he were to come out and say, I want to be traded, I don't want to be here? And I think he specifically, because I think that he cares about legacy, I don't think that he would just want to be traded to Dallas or somewhere else. I really do think that this is the place where he would want to be traded to, and this is going to stare us right there in the face. Because if he comes out and he says,
what about the Knicks?
You know, from what he said about James Dolan before, I find it hard to believe, but maybe there's a possibility.
I mean, he came back and played for Dan Gilbert.
He did. That's why I think that they're still very, the time has passed. It's a better organization than what it was. It is Mike Brown as the head coach. I mean, Mike Brown is their guy. I don't know if that would have a negative or positive effect for him. I would feel it be more negative
crazy,
for him.
Though?
But
when did he last play for Mike Brown?
Been a while.
It is so
been a while.
That's what's so crazy is, like, you saying that, I had almost forgotten.
Yeah.
Like, it's been that many years, so I don't know. It seems like Mike Brown has a pretty damn good
because
reputation now in the
wherever
NBA.
Wherever he goes, I'm sorry, wherever he goes, like, the Knicks, if he were to lead the Knicks to a championship, how big of a move would that be? It'd be big. If
My
he ended
God,
up in Golden
massive.
State, if he ended up at Golden State the way that people talk, I think it would be more Steph's championship than his. I think that he takes on that Kevin Durant role of adding on to an organization. Here, if he comes back, let's call it what it is. I think he wants his power. I think he wants his standing still in the NBA. I think he's only got 2 years left and he still wants it his way. But I don't know how realistic of a chance it's going to be. I still don't find it to be really realistic with what they have to do, with the maneuvering they have to do it.
It's hard to know because, you know, guys like Brian Windhorst keep saying that, look, it's not going to be a trade. And then he'll add, like, the odds of a buyout are so small, but yet the window seems to continue to be open. That's what's so weird about this. And that's why it makes me continue to think that he is already applying all sorts of pressure in every which way he can without demanding a trade.
Would they pay him off $53 million to go?
You know, the number that I keep seeing was, well, if he can get like 80%, like, why would the Lakers want to do that? It continues to be confusing to me why it hasn't just been squashed. And make no mistake, it has not been squashed. Because if it had been squashed, we would know it. It's not. It clearly isn't. There seems to be that this door is cracked open. And look, the one thing that I keep saying is, for anybody that thinks like, oh, he's washed up, I'm like, well, that's clearly not the case. I mean, he's second team all NBA. And there were times last year where he still looked like a top five player in the entire sport. And people are using the playoff series against him. Like, I've heard some Cavs fans do that. And I'm like, well, you're not allowed to. Because if you're using LeBron's playoffs against him, then what do I do for Darius Garland? What do I do for so many of the Cavaliers that have shrunk, you know, multiple playoffs when obviously LeBron James? I mean, I love how they're using the playoff exit against him more than anything. But, you know, the numbers were still there. He was still really, really good.
Well, because I think anybody's trying to cling on to any reason other than their emotions for not wanting him back to not want him back. So that becomes a big calling card. Well, what was he during the season or what was he during the playoffs? I think is what people make it out to be. And he had only played a handful of games really with Luka Doncic going into that. I mean, there's ways to explain it. And I also say, well, the West is very difficult. I think if you put him on this team right now, they go to the NBA Finals.
That's what I mean. Like in New York or in Cleveland, LeBron has so much of a better shot to win a championship. Yes. Than that spot right now, just because of their roster and how loaded the West is. And I keep saying this to Cavs fans, like for those that say they don't want LeBron, we're just fine without, you know, the one guy that won us a championship. Somehow we're just fine, even though we can't get out of the second round. Would you be okay if he gets traded to the Knicks? Because I'd pick the Knicks to beat us flat out. Yeah. I think that would be a difference maker. Already, I think the Knicks would give us a war. And could definitely beat us.
I mean, if you
traded Karl Anthony Towns for LeBron, yeah, goodbye. I picked the Knicks in a series against us.
If you were okay with him getting traded to the Knicks, you either don't live in reality, you really hate LeBron, and you don't really care for basketball. Those are the reasons. If you were just fine with it, you don't think that they can beat the Knicks with LeBron. Nobody would believe that. You don't really like him, then you really, really, really don't like him. And then you know what? You can say you're a baseball or a football fan first. Because it's not the same. 216-474-0092. I think that he should put pressure on them. I think at some point he should maybe demand a trade if he wants to. I think that it could work out in his benefit. Or if they could buy him out to some level, then fine. I think it might be up for it.